Are you working? What kind of work do you do? What is it you want to do when you grow up?
Hey, yo, I'm going to be a tit out. That's all my eyes can see. Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been laying, waiting for your next mistake. I put in work and watch my status escalate. Now I'ma start collecting props, connecting plots, networking like a...
Welcome, DJ Lene. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you, my dear. I'm doing very well. Right, so normally how we start these interviews off is we get... the DJs tell us like their origin story, like who they are, how they got into DJing, all that sort of stuff. So I think obviously I met you first, the first time meeting you was at the thing with Carmen and Kidman that they did in the forest. All those moons ago, and so yeah, I started hosting your set, and then I let Dimson Laws take over hosting. But as I said, me and what's the name now? Me and Melody was sitting there chatting and just hearing you play, and was like, he was very impressed with how you was. But anyway, we'll get into that a bit later. So DJ Lene, take it away. Tell the audience who you are. Like your origin story, how you got into DJ, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so I am DJ Lene. I am from South London, and I basically, so I've been DJing, I started probably in the end of 2018, so it's only been about like 5 years or so. I taught myself, so it's always something that I've wanted to do. So I grew up with a very musical family. My dad was like an MC, he was like produced music, he was a DJ, he was on like pirate radio and stuff. So I grew up around that and always had a very big interest in music and stuff. And yeah, as a teenager, I kind of was a bit of a party girl. So I used to have quite a lot of like house parties and stuff. And I would literally plan my playlist like for days before. I'd put song by song by song, and this was like just on iTunes, not on any software or anything. Right. But that's when I realized like I kind of had a passion for music. So when I had my daughter, I had maternity leave and I had a bit of time off, so I was just like, I kind of just wanted to teach myself a new skill. So I was like, do you know what, let me just see what happens. And then yeah, I downloaded an app and got on YouTube, and here we are.
Okay, cool. So how long did you say you spent learning, like teaching yourself DJing and all that, those sorts of things? How long would you say you spent learning?
So I feel like, so let's say I remember I started in like a December, and I didn't feel like, it wasn't until maybe like the June the following year that I could mix for 10 minutes. And okay, I remember thinking, I can't, like, until I can do a 10 minute mix, I'm not a DJ or anything. So yeah, it probably took me about 7 to 8 months to feel comfortable in what I was doing. And then, like I say, I started on just an app on my phone. So I was doing that first, and then I done that for about 7 months, and then I invested in like some equipment and that. And then yeah, but I feel like, to be honest, I'm still learning. Do you know what I mean? I feel like it's not something that you ever stop learning. Like, I don't feel like I know it all now. I'm still very new to it all. And every time I go out to a booking and like meet other DJs and network and stuff, I'm always learning. So it's just one of those things that you keep progressing up.
Cool. So when would you say you made that transition where you was comfortable enough from learning and teaching yourself at home to stepping out and DJing outside of the home?
So I feel like it was 2020, so it had been a solid like 2 years in my room of just like practicing, recording mixes and stuff. And then early 2020, before the lockdown happens, I've got a DJ friend, big up DJ Styler. I approached him because he had been my friend like for quite a while, and I was like, oh, would you just like listen to this mix I've done and just give me some feedback? And then he was really impressed by it, like really, really impressed by it, and was like, yeah, like he booked me. And then from there, yeah, I had my first booking outside on a bus rave and that was an experience. And then yeah, from there I just started getting a few bookings, but obviously COVID got in the way.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I feel like COVID was kind of a blessing and a curse at the same time, because I don't know if I would have had the same opportunities had COVID not come along, because there was a lot of like party in the parks and Twitches and stuff, and that's when I really did probably get my name out there. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously COVID was, I don't know, I think obviously since meeting you, it was literally during COVID times. I can see obviously from that party that we did together to you then going on to link up with like Fiona Hall and all the other types of DJs and doing that stuff on Twitch. Then you did the what did you do? The deck one, deck two thing with C6 and all of that. So
yeah,
that was obviously, what do you call it? All those sorts of things I see as exposure for you when people had nothing to do but sit down and in their house. So most people were on Twitch or Instagram Live to see obviously talent like yourself just going out there and like crushing every set. I want to ask you, so before we get on to that in some detail, how did you end up like linking up with Carmen? Was that freestyler or just being around?
I feel like that was through Vimps and Law. I don't know, do you know what, I can't remember exactly how I linked up with Carmen, to be fair. But I feel like it might have been through Dimps and Laws, because I feel like they kind of linked up on the section that I was playing at. And maybe they recommended me, if I remember correctly. I can't really remember. But yeah, a lot of people I met just like through people. And yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So, all right, then. Obviously, pandemic's hit. So obviously there's no more club bookings per se or bars or all that sort of stuff, so it was literally Twitch and Instagram Live. So yeah, obviously you mentioned Imps and Laws and the rest of it just through networking. So I want to get really more stuck into that period of time and how you felt it affected you, because obviously there wasn't, as you said, there was no bars and clubs. It was literally just Twitch and Instagram Live and that sort of stuff. So how do you feel during that process that, you know, that affected you? Because obviously you're still quite new to the scene in terms of like DJing and getting your name out there.
Do you know what, when I really sit down and think about it, I feel like it was a massive benefit for me, and I feel like it helped me, because if you think about it, like most DJs, their first booking or their first experience like DJing to people is in front of a live crowd, and it's a lot of pressure and stuff. So I feel like I definitely did get to benefit from the fact that I was getting to practice behind a screen. It was a little less pressure. You know, it was hard in the terms that you can't read a crowd through a screen, but just as a new DJ, just practicing, like mixing and just like working off the feedback you're getting off the comments and stuff, I feel like that was really, really helpful for me and probably a lot of other DJs, because then when Outside opened, one, people knew who I was a little bit, and two, I had that confidence because I had been doing it behind the screen. It wasn't just fresh, like I'm a new DJ and I've got to play in a club. Like I feel like that might have been a bit of a whoa. But by then, by the time things opened up and stuff, it was like a year in, so I was a lot more confident with what I was doing. So I do feel like it was a blessing. I don't feel like it was a negative for me personally, but perhaps like DJs that had been working and stuff already beforehand, COVID definitely, would have messed up the bag for them. But for me, it was like I took it as my playground. It was an opportunity to learn and see what the industry was like and yeah, just dabble a
Okay,
little bit.
that's very good. No, I'm glad. Obviously, for you, it was a massive exposure. I think that I've seen you took full advantage of that in terms of being the networking and just being able to grow your base. And obviously, as you know that, or as everyone who's seen you play will say that you're definitely very talented, and it looked like obviously they just come natural for you. So for you
Thank
to
you.
hear about, you hear you say that it's all like almost like your every day you DJ you or every time you're DJing it's more like a practice session for you. It's just obviously talks to the fact that you're still quite humble enough to know that you're looking to grow your skills and move forward from there.
Absolutely.
Cool. So that takes us outside of the pandemic. Actually, sorry, before I'll we move forward, let me just go backwards. You're saying your dad was an MC, was that in is that in garage or maybe
Yeah.
dance hall?
Yeah, garage.
Garage, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It probably explains my love for garages. I'm sure you've heard how much I love garage, so
Of course.
yeah.
Of course, of course. So was your dad part of any collective, or was he just mainly by himself?
I mean, I do remember there being groups of them, but I was very young, so I didn't really know like if there was like a clip or whatever. I remember him and what his name was, but yeah, I don't really know. I just remember being young and like my mum letting me stay up late on a Wednesday night, for example, and then just like waiting for my shout out on a pirate being like 5 years
Okay,
old.
yeah, that was some, say, back in the late 90s and early 2000s, there were some good times, man. There was
Yeah, man.
a lot of pirate stations out
Yeah,
there.
man.
Obviously, there's not as much as there used to be now with the whole internet thing and all the rest of it. So with that, was for yourself, was you ever interested in getting into involved in radio or not really?
Do you know what? I'm open to it. And I feel like I definitely over time would like to see if I could like break into that radio DJ world. However, I feel like I'm very much in it for just my passion, which is the music. That's why I got into it. I didn't get into DJ thinking like I'm gonna be a star or I'm gonna like make loads of money or anything like that. Like I just got into it because I genuinely wanted to see if I could make mixes better than half of the DJs that I used to listen to. Literally, I just wanted to see if I could do it. So yes, while I would be open to it, like maybe in the future, at the moment I'm just enjoying what I'm doing and taking it all in.
Okay, cool. So, moving forward, let's talk about this subject. So, one of the things that I look out and I see quite a bit of is there still seems to be I don't know if disconnect's the right word, but there still seems to be some kind of or friction and tension between male DJs and their female counterparts. Like when I look at it now, when I look at it, I look at just DJing as a job. So I don't necessarily differentiate between male and female DJs, but I know that there is a different path, well, not a different pathway, but there's always kind of like some friction with female DJs breaking into the industry. and you know, like seeing female DJ lineups and that sort of thing as like women trying to empower them, not empower themselves and empower other female DJs to come through. But what's your thoughts on, you know, being a female trying to break into the DJ scene and, you know, having to deal with what is technically a male-dominated industry?
I feel like, yeah, obviously it is and always has been a very male-dominated industry. So you are gonna expect some pushback and some, you know, like it's not the norm, I guess, having females outside DJing. And I do feel like whilst a lot of DJs do try and support us and stuff, like people like yourself are very, very supportive. I do feel like unfortunately, there are just a lot of males in general that are just stuck in their way, not necessarily just with DJing. There's a lot of traditional males that just believe that women belong in certain roles and don't belong in these roles. So I do feel like sometimes it does feel like us females have to prove ourselves that bit more, you know, than our male counterparts. To get on lineups or just to even just get a look in, I feel like you really have to like be the best of the best, like to even be considered. Like whereas men, I just feel like it's just a lot easier. However, I'm not really a type of person that likes to let like general stereotypes be a reason why I can't do anything. I feel like I am quite used to working in male-dominated industry because I've always worked in like the motor trade with cars and stuff. So I have always been like that minority, and it's not an issue for me. I feel like we just need to keep us females and DJs just need to keep going, and eventually we're gonna be, you know, on. It's not gonna be a male-dominated industry. I feel like I would like to see eventually it is just all equal. It's a normal thing that there's men and female DJ like DJs globally, but that's going to take time. It's, you know, it's been years of it being men, and only now, or like for the past however maybe 10, 20, however long years, females are coming through. So it's going to take time for us to really get there, but we will get there. We just got to keep pushing through.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like I think, as I said before, like I think DJing is a skill that anyone can do. Me personally will not differentiate between male or female. Like a good DJ is a good DJ at the end of the day. And I've seen, I think there are obviously some people are better at it than others. I think you're better than a lot of the DJs who have been around for a long time. Like they're doing like big promoters and stuff like that, but they're not necessarily as good as, you know, you're not, you know, as good as they think they are. Do you know what I mean? So
Yeah, definitely.
in that sense it's good. So again, one of the another thing you touched on earlier on, obviously you mentioned that you had a daughter. So how do you find that balance of DJing whilst obviously having a young child to bring up as well?
I'm not gonna lie, I do feel like that's one of the hardest things about trying to break into the industry. I do sometimes feel like if I'd done it before I had a child, I might have got a bit further. I do definitely feel like it's a bit of a barrier because childcare and, you know, just the standard things that you'd expect. So it's hard, and I have definitely had a lot of mum guilt, especially at like there was a period where I was really busy. I've got my day job, and then at the weekends I was just booked every weekend, Friday, Saturday, sometimes even Sunday as well. And I had a lot of guilt, and there was be times like literally I would leave for my booking, but I would be in tears because I just felt like I barely get to see her. So I did decide to like kind of take a step back. I feel like it's very important for me to have a healthy balance. So whilst I want to like be out there and booked and busy and stuff, I also want to be a present mum. So I just feel like it's about getting the balance and understanding that, you know, I feel like when you become a parent, you have to sacrifice a lot of things anyway. So you have to just understand that I'm not going to be able to do everything. That's just my life. And it is what it is. I'm happy with what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy that I can juggle both. Just okay. about.
That's fine. Do you know what?
Just about.
It makes me laugh because you keep saying, you think you'd be further along. And I'm thinking, like, obviously, where you've ascended to at the moment is like, obviously, we'll get onto it, but you've already had one of your mixes and featured on Big BBC with Cyan. And you're part of a quite well known sound, if I say so myself. And
yeah,
like, you're doing a lot. So you're further along than a lot of DJs who've been in the industry a lot longer than yourself. So while, yes, I understand, obviously, you would have probably, before having a child, you would probably have a little bit more time to be able to dedicate and push yourself. But for where you've gotten at the moment, you definitely have to give yourself props because, you know, like I said, you're further along than a lot of DJs that I know personally and who've been in the game a lot longer than, you know, me and yourself.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Right. I appreciate that.
So, actually, as I touched on it, you are part of a sound called King SSP. So, talk to me about that journey, because I know, obviously, I know Mad Fingers for a little while. I knew somebody that used to be in the sound. I don't think he's in it no more. Talk to me about your journey, how that came about and how you made that transition or how it's helped you.
Yeah, so I was at a booking in 2021, it was, just playing, and then I met Mad Fingers. He hosted my set for me. Mm-hmm. And before that, I'd heard of King SSP, but not really too much. I was still quite new to the scene, so it was like, oh, okay, cool. But yeah, he hosted my set, and then he really liked it. He liked how I was playing and stuff. And then I think I messaged him just to say, like, oh, thanks for hosting for me, kind of thing. And then he was like, oh, yeah, do you want to be in the sound? Like, and then I thought about it. I was like, you know, obviously I'm a new DJ, I'm like, oh, like, what does this mean? Like, what's this going to entail? But I was like, you know what? Let me just see what it's about. And honestly, I'm so glad to have met Mad Fingers. He's been really, like, a blessing and a big brother to me. He's been very, like, I've learned a lot from him. I've learned a lot from all the guys in the sound. I feel like they really just took me on board and took me under their wing. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of experience between them. So it definitely feels nice to have a strong team behind me, yeah. Like, rooting for me and stuff. And, yeah, they have, like, we've put on some events and I've got to play at some cool places, like through Mad Fingers, and yeah, it's been a nice journey and I'm definitely happy to be a part of the sound, man.
Cool. So just touching on that, for those who aren't necessarily involved or don't know what it means to be in a sound, from your perspective, what does that entail?
So obviously our sound, King SSP, we are a sound, so a very heavyweight sound. We provide sound equipment, hire DJ equipment, and just not generic equipment. Like, these guys have actually spent a lot of years and money and invested into this equipment, so it's a very good sound. And with that, obviously, comes the DJing and the hosting, and it's just a collective of us providing sound, providing music and providing entertainment. Obviously, some, I feel like there's some sounds that just do, like, just DJing and they're just out there, like, getting their bookings in and doing that. But we DJ, but we also have the sound as well. So, yeah.
Okay. Cool, cool, cool. So that's going to be you for a few, many more years to come.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. I think I used to be in a sound, but then kind of like one person left, the sound kind of disbanded, but I would think I was one of the only people that just carried on solo. But
Okay.
definitely with that, you just build your connections anyway. So whatever happens there, you've got that link which you can always fall back on as well as that. So just in terms of that, you still take your own bookings outside of obviously King SSP.
Yeah, I still do my own thing. I
Okay.
still do my own thing. We bring each other in on bookings and yeah.
Okay. So one more question I have. Well, I've got many questions, but so in terms of when you were getting into DJing and learning and doing like getting involved in it, was there like a DJ who you looked up to or somebody who you wanted to follow or emulate while she was like learning and learning your skills, etc.?
Do you know what? Like, it's gonna sound mad, but not really. Obviously, so there was like to throw out a few names of people that I did really like hear about and respect because there was not a lot of female DJs, black female DJs. So Fiona Hall, I did like in my early days feel like, oh my God, she's so sick. And Cyan Anderson, I did always like rate her a lot. Just because obviously of what they've done with the scene and you know they've made a name for themselves. But I'm not gonna lie, like it comes down to the fact that there's not that much female DJs. And obviously there was men that I rated, but I came into this thing so tunnel visioned. It sounds very mad, but I wasn't really looking and thinking like, oh, you know, I wanna be like you or da da da. I was just so focused on myself. It sounds crazy, but yeah. And then obviously now I'm in it a bit more, like there's DJs that I look up to, like DJ Puffy. I think he's sick. There's a DJ called Times Two. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's absolutely cold. Yeah, there's a few DJs again, like Dimps and Laws. I really rate them. I have from day one. Feel like they're just a very sick collective in terms of like the entertainment and the hosting side of things. So I definitely do look up to them. But yeah.
Okay. One thing that I've noticed a lot, I haven't seen you do much of, but interested. Actually, no, I have seen a few clips of you doing it, but is DJs hosting their own set? It seems
Yes.
to be a thing that's happening a lot more frequently. So how are you feeling about that? Because I've seen you a couple of clips where you've done it, but is it something you're really comfortable with, something you're looking to grow?
So I'm not gonna lie, I'm absolutely not fully comfortable with it. Like, I've always been very, like, quite low key. I don't really like being the center of attention, you know. I like to just mind my own business and hold my own. So the whole hosting thing is a whole nother world for me. Like I really have had to build myself up to even pick up the word, the mic, and say two words. But I definitely feel like it's needed. I feel like it takes, you know, it takes your set to another level when you can pick up the mic and entertain the crowd. And I've been trying. I've been trying, and I feel like it's only like with DJing, you get better with time. I feel like it's the same with hosting. So, you know, 2 years ago, I would have never picked up the mic. Whereas now, if I don't have a host, I feel like I have to pick up the mic, and I will say a little couple of things, and I definitely want to work towards just fully being comfortable. But yeah, baby steps.
Okay. That's cool. That is cool. Like I said, I it's one thing I've noticed a lot more DJs are doing. And it's definitely a good set to have in your repertoire.
Definitely.
And the more not necessarily club bookings, but the more like you do like your private bookings where you do weddings and that sort of stuff and you're left to yourself, then yeah, those are probably the best times to do it and
Exactly, yeah,
easiest
definitely.
as well.
Definitely.
All right, cool. So, before we advance to the next stage, I'm gonna open the floor to you a little bit. So, is there any questions you want to ask me or advice you want to share for new DJs or both?
Yeah, so like, what made you get into DJing? I would like to know what made you get into DJing.
Okay, so. The short of the long short version of the long story is both my parents are heavily into music. My dad was around Studio One, the Studio One Collective back in the day, so I always used to see like Patrick Isaacs and all of them lot used to go to their house, and they was always used to have parties for big people and stuff like that, so they was always playing music. And then my cousin on my mum's side, he was a part of another collective, and I'm sure you remember like back in the days where the kids would go in one room and then the adults would be downstairs partying till whatever o'clock the following morning. So yeah, I've always been surrounded by music, and then in school I had two friends, both called Richard, who were DJs. So I, during like the summer breaks, I went to one of their houses, and they was learning to play bashment, or they was playing bashment. So I learned DJing at their house, like playing literally one rhythm, please. I think it was the buzz rhythm at the time. So I learned on that to learn how to mix two 45 records together, and then from there I just got the buzz and wanted to learn myself. So in my house I already had two turntables. I just needed a mixer. So until that point where I got my mixer, every like school break or every weekend or whatever, I used to go to their houses and like just mess about and learn how to mix. And then on my, I think it was my 16th or my 15th birthday, my dad bought me I can't even remember what the brand was. It was just some yellow and blue mixer that I had. So I got that, put that on, and then like yourself, I was in my bedroom till 3 o'clock in the morning some days, just to learning how to mix, learning how to DJ, and then yeah, from there I upgraded to CDJs, and then I was yeah, we're about 16, 17, to about 21. We was doing house parties. We was going to like our friends from school was having house parties. We'd go there, set up, string up the set, play, shut it down, and like everyone was impressed on how I was able to mix, because when I could eventually afford to buy records, I was just buying hip hop records. I used to go dub vendor in Clapham Junction every other week and just buy records. And then I was working at Cheserton, so I'd get on the train, go to Cheserton. When I finish work, come home, get off the train at Clapham Junction, go and buy records, get back on the train, come home, and then just mix from there. Right, so. I don't know if you can. Oh, let me see if I can show you. So, if you look there, that's some of the records that I collected. And then plus my dad's and my uncle's record collection as well. So yeah, it's just been a music thing that's been in the family for years. So I just picked it up and ran from it from there.
Similar. I don't think I have any more questions. What was the other thing you said?
Advice
Any
for
advice?
new and up and coming DJs.
So I feel like definitely record everything you do when you're like learning how to DJ and you're like starting to do sets. Definitely record everything because it's always nice. Like sometimes you might think that you've done a sick mix and then you listen back to it and you're like, what the hell is that? Or vice versa, you might think, oh my God, that was really awful. And then you listen back and you're like, oh, actually, it's not that bad. And then you can just like learn from that. I feel like that definitely helped me a lot. take advice from people. I feel like be a sponge, you know, listen to what people, like the advice that people are saying to you, but at the same time, do you. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's nice and it's good to take all the information, but do with that information what you want to do. Don't try and like follow a crowd. Don't try and keep up with hype, and you know, don't get lost in the clout. Remember why you're in it and just take your time. I feel like one thing for me, which I will always stick by, is that it's not a race. Like, I'm not in competition with anyone. It's literally like a marathon for me, between me and myself. It's a slow, long, steady race. I'm not rushing to try and be anywhere. I just want to take it easy. So just don't forget why you even started DJing in the first place, and download a lot of music.
Yeah.
Download a lot of music, because literally you're going to need so much. Yeah. That's okay.
Are you subscribed to any record pools?
I am currently subscribed to Franchise Record Pool, FRP.
Mm-hmm.
I was subscribed to DJ City, but I like that. So I was with DJ City before, and I don't really like DJ City. I think it's quite like limited. There's a lot on there, but there's not a lot of what I want. Mm-hmm. Whereas I feel like with FRP, like, there's a lot of old school stuff. There's a lot of throwbacks. There's dancehall, R&B, reggae, Afrobeats. There's everything on there. Okay. So I feel like there's a wider variety of music, and it's a little bit cheaper as well, which is always a bonus. So
okay.
Yeah, I like it.
It's
£15 a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
You unlimited downloads, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. It's worth knowing, because, yeah, I think, like, when things went digital and record pools became the thing, everyone was on DJ City, but... everyone's kind of pulled... I would say everyone slowly pulled away, but there are a lot more better alternatives out there. Especially after the pandemic, I think that a lot of the way how online music has changed has just meant, a lot of record pools have either pulled their music, or I don't know if you remember when Twitch was happening, there was the whole thing of they was trying to get artists paid per stream of their song. So that meant that if you streamed on things like Instagram and stuff, that's why people were getting shut down, because they was trying to class it as a stream or whatever of their song. So the record pools were going after everyone that was online trying to play their music, saying that you haven't got rights to do this, and we're not making money off it. So
I see.
That's why Mixcloud's brought in their streaming service, because they had most of the licenses in place, etc.
Right, okay.
So I think that's why DJ City lost a lot of music, or it went to streaming only.
Because I feel like it used to be quite good. So there used to be quite a lot of stuff on there, but now I'm searching and I'm like, what is this coming up? It's just their remixes.
If you're looking for remixes, like, DJ City is probably still the best place to come, but it's all DJ created mixes of songs. All right, cool. I might leave a link for that in the description for people who are interested in signing up for a franchise record pool. I'm still using DigiWax as well, but that's mainly like if you like the American stuff, that's
okay
for most of that.
Okay, you might have to send me the link. I've never heard of that.
Promo only for a lot of UK stuff.
Okay,
so
nice.
Those are the main two that I use. All right, I'll send you links for those if you want those as well.
Yes, please.
All right, I got you. All right, so now it comes to the part that I know you're not necessarily, what do you call it? You're dreading. That we spoke about last week. All right, so this is a little game I like to play, where I'm going to give you some scenarios, and then for each scenario, you get to select a track for it. Yeah. but there will be some caveats. So let's say you've been booked for let's say you've been booked for a 30th, and you are an hour into your set, so you know that, all right, cool. You've done your little warm up now, everyone's kind of in the mood, and you want to start getting people up ready to dance. What song comes to mind as being like that song to get everybody like
It's the
off
30th
away from the
party,
bar?
yeah? It's the 30th, you say.
The 30th, yeah.
So, assuming it's like the type of 30th that I would play at, I'd probably like want to step up to the next gear. So, I'd probably play something like, I'd probably change the genre from like R&B to maybe like early dancehall and maybe go Murder, She Wrote.
Okay.
Everyone sing along. And then, yeah, from there. Taken through a little old school journey.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I like that. I forgot to say, I know with you're very much still, even though you do play new music, you're very much an old school head in that sense.
Definitely,
Yeah.
absolutely, an old soul.
All
Older
right,
music is
cool.
better,
Okay. You ain't wrong. You
man.
ain't gonna get no argument from me. Right, okay, cool. Scenario two. All right, I'm just gonna throw it your way. Christening, or yeah, some kind of something where there's mixed stages. So let's say christening for that. Coming towards the end of the night. So coming towards the end of the night. So say like last 10 minutes. So you want to make sure that everyone gets up on their feet and can have a nice little dance around. So what song are you playing? And you know I'm gonna tell you can't play Candy.
That's fine. I will play. I would probably go to some reggae vibes and play Down by the River. I'm trying to think. Who's that again? Down by the River, you know, I'll be down by
Oh yeah, so
the
that's
river.
some little Morgan Heritage, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I was like, mind blank. Yeah. Something along those lines and just get the sing along crew there with me. You know what? I would have it would have been a Candy thing, but I was not allowed to say that, which is fine. So yeah.
That's fine. So you would prefer more the sing along vibe rather than the everyone just get up and shake their foot for the last 10 minutes.
It really depends. I feel like it's such a hard, like it's not a one answer fits all because it depends on the type of christening. Like if it's a christening where there's a lot of young people, then yeah, I want to get everybody up and I'll maybe play. Don't know. This is such a hard question. But yeah, if it's like, you know, if there's older people in the venue and it's more of a family setting and there's kids around, then yeah, I'd probably keep it because you can still get people up and dancing with reggae. Absolutely, you can get people up and dancing with reggae.
Cool. All right, last scenario then. Let's think.
The pressure is on.
Okay, cool. So you're a club and you're a club setting. The DJ before you has played, so the warm-up DJ has played R&B. The next DJ on has done Bashment, and the DJ that's on before you has done like a garage set, an old school garage set. Where are you taking the crowd next?
Afrobeats.
You said that so confidently, so. Nah, it's all
Yeah.
good. That's all good. I know
Afrobeats.
you're about your business, so that's
Yeah.
good. All right,
I'll
so.
try it, yeah, see what happens and then go from there.
Fair enough. All right, so I asked Prime Child this when I interviewed him, so I'm gonna ask you the same thing. And the reason why I'm asking you is because effectively what I'm trying to understand and get DJs to understand and work with is if a lot of venues and a lot of promoters are not paying DJs the rate that they should deserve and get. And I feel like personally, when you've got a DJ who's in it for the music or they've got a daytime job, like when it comes to the talking of money, it's not always what it should be. Like the rates in Shoreditch area, for example, are not that great, but obviously some of the work can be consistent. But I also feel like there are a lot of like agents who are booking DJs for when they can't do a set and they are like undercutting them basically. So while there is no DJ union where we can band together and start saying this is the rate that we should be getting paid for this venue or this is the rate that we should be getting paid for this venue, what I can do is talk to individual DJs and say like what is like not necessarily finding out what your rate is for a particular booking, but get the words out. What are you charging people if you're doing an hour set or a 2 hour set or a 5 6 hour night in general?
I mean,
Roughly speaking.
I'm not gonna dash my fee out there. You can hit me in the DMs if you want to book me. But for obviously it does vary. So like, I will do like so. I have a set fee for an hour set. Obviously, if I have to travel a bit further, then it might be a little bit more. If you want to book me for a 2 hour set, you're gonna get a bit of a deal. And then anything like I have a set rate for like 3 to 4 hour bookings, but then it does depend. Like if you want sound, then it's going to be more travel, it's going to be more. So it's kind of hard to give a figure, like a direct figure, but I definitely don't try it. Like I don't undercut myself. I don't think I do anyway. I do try and charge like what I believe I'm worth, but also not anything too crazy.
Okay, all right, let me ask a question another way then. When I was talking to Prime Child, obviously he mentioned that his rate was about £50 an hour depending on clients' requirements, etc. So, and then I think you mentioned obviously he's not charging enough. So what do you feel that he should have been charging if,
Well, I
in
feel
that
like,
sense?
you know, we shouldn't be coming out of our house really for less than like he should be doubling that, really and truly. I feel like it should be double that personally. Like I feel like, you know, yeah, it's an hour set, but it's years of knowledge, it's hundreds of pounds of equipment, it's hundreds of pounds in record pools, it's hundreds of hours of, you know, so that's what you're paying for. And I feel like, yeah, obviously he's outside of London, I believe, so it might be a little bit different, but I definitely feel like £50 an hour is too cheap. I charged that when I like was very, very new, and you know, I feel like he can definitely increase that. I feel like we definitely should be, you know, minimum collectively £100 an hour.
Okay, that's fine. That's really kind of, yeah, the few I was thinking when you said that. So, okay.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, like I said, as I mentioned earlier on, what I'm trying to get people to realize is that they're obviously after the pandemic, the rates haven't gone up. I mean, if I look at some of the venues that I used to DJ before the pandemic and after the pandemic, one venue is trying to give me pre-pandemic rates, And I'm like,
Right.
so much has changed since then, so I can't be doing that for the same amount that I used to be doing before. So, you know, being able to work with people and negotiate a better rate in that sense. And
Yeah,
considering
absolutely.
that in that particular spot, which I won't name, but you know, the whole point of having a good DJ is that you keep people in your venue. And the
Exactly.
more you keep people in the venue, the more they're buying drinks, the more everybody makes.
Exactly.
So it's about
Exactly.
just being able to compensate those people who do that better.
Yeah,
So,
exactly, definitely.
yeah.
So I feel like cheaper is not always better for businesses. Like, you know, you might be presented with a DJ that's charging you £20 an hour, but then he's going to frighten all your clients away, all your customers away. So you have to sometimes, you know, spend a bit so you can make a bit more. So yeah,
Yeah,
promoters
no, I
and
agree. I
club and
think,
bar owners definitely need to understand that.
I think that when you're cheap, you end up paying more in the long run anyway,
Exactly.
because yeah, you're just gonna whatever you think you're saving at the start, you'll end up having to pay in the back end because you'll have, as you mentioned, less people in the venue, or do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Music policy ain't right, all that good
Yeah,
stuff.
bad reputation, and a bad reputation sticks, doesn't it? So,
That is a very true, unfortunately, or
yeah.
fortunately, however you look at it. Yeah, I've had some experiences where they've, you know, I've caught flak for something that wasn't necessarily my fault. Do you know what I mean? Where you've gone into a venue, you've not been briefed properly on what it is you're expected to play or how you're expected to play, and then it's like the managers of or the management have already given their view on you. And then, you know, you're getting told that your set wasn't good. And I'm like, well, what are you talking about? I played my set how I would normally play. But if you lot want to change it, then you need to tell me beforehand, not just put me think that I'm going to do the same set every time. Cool. All right, then. So, last question from me before we start to wrap up. What is next for Lene, DJ wise?
I just want to, for me, I just want to be consistent in what I'm doing. I want to keep challenging myself, and I definitely want to see if I can get on some like bucket list lineup. So like, I would love to play at Carnival. I would love to play like at a festival and just little things, because for me, it's always personal. So yeah, you just expect to see me outside shelling down dances, pretty
Okay, well,
much. Yes,
I expect to see you at some kind of carnival thing in the next couple of years for sure. And definitely a festival next year. Because we're just about to end the festival season now, isn't it? Or we're in the middle of festival season now. So
yeah,
yeah, I'm
man.
looking at Carnival because there are, when I look at, I say this, when I look at my circle of friends and all the rest of it and people that I know, a lot more people are getting more opportunities now. And where you're with SSP, if I'm correct in saying that they have in past years supplied sounds to some of the floats. So in that sense, you're in the
And
right
will be
spot to be
this
able to
year.
do Carnival at some point. You know what I mean? So hopefully this year, you know.
You may or may not hear me shelling down Notting Hill, you never know.
I will keep you in my thoughts and prayers for that. So,
Much
you know what I mean, if I see you,
love.
you even though you might catch me behind the float.
Yeah,
You get me? But yeah, no. Okay. I'm happy to hear that. So, lastly, where can people find you online if they want to follow you, connect with you, book you, all that good stuff?
Instagram I am LXNAY dot DJ on pretty much everything. That and SoundCloud. SoundCloud is if you want to hear the type of music I play. I like to put out mixes on there, and then yeah, on Instagram, LXNAY.
Okay. Did you change that recently? Because has it always been that, or was it
It's literally always been that. It's funny because obviously my DJ name is just my name. My name is Lene with an apostrophe. So my DJ name for years, even before I was a DJ, I just replaced the apostrophe with an X. And when I become a DJ, I just couldn't think of anything, so I left it as that.
Fair enough. Fair enough. It just keeps things simple, so you don't even have to ask where the name come from because it just is your name.
It's my name, yeah. That's how lazy I
Fair enough. And actually, on your SoundCloud, congratulations on your last mix doing over 1,000
Thank you.
plays.
Thank you.
That's phenomenal. And
Thanks. We're over 6,000 now. Do
6,000
that.
plays. Jeez, unread. Yes, man. So yeah,
Yes, it's
congratulations on that.
colossal. Thank you.
Obviously, there's going to be
Much love.
more and bigger numbers to come in your future, but 6,000
Absolutely.
plays is dope. So
Thank you.
congratulations again on that.
Thank you very much.
Wicked. So with that being said, make sure you give Lene a follow on her socials. So that's Instagram. Do you have a Facebook page or is it just mainly Instagram?
Yeah, I'm not very socially, so Instagram is the
Best bit. So you're not doing a TikTok or a Snapchat. It's just Instagram one time,
Not
yeah.
yet. Yeah,
Okay.
maybe soon, but for now.
Cool, cool,
Yeah.
cool. Yeah. So yeah, make sure you give Lene a follow on Instagram and follow her SoundCloud. It's LXNAY dot DJ. You get to see all the music that she plays. You'll see the mix on there that was featured on, was it One Extra?
Yeah, it was
Yeah,
BBC
you
One
get to see
Extra.
her One Extra mix that she done there. We didn't even get to talk about that, but again, that's another amazing moment. Yeah, and give me a follow if and reach out if you want to get involved in what we do here on Who's That DJ TV. You can either send me a message directly at JSU the DJ on all socials, or Who's That DJ TV on Instagram, or even in the YouTube bio, there's a link with my email address on there, so you can reach out those different ways. But thank you very much for watching, listening. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe, all that good stuff, and I'll see you soon.